is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Afghanistan, Pakistan, the subcontinent. Questions remain from the long decades of the U.S. commitment to Afghanistan and the long decades of the U.S. commitment to Pakistan during the high points and the low points of the war on terror. I welcome my two colleagues, veterans of those years, and also what do we know now about what we didn't know then and lessons learned. Bill Raggio, a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal, which is a decades-long chronology and analysis of Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the subcontinent under assault by the jihadists. And Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute. Gentlemen, good evening to you. Bill, I begin your memories of the summer of 2016. There's a new book. I'm looking forward to talking to the authors, Jerry Dunleavy and James Hassan, called Kabul, The Untold Story of Biden's Fiasco and the American Warriors Who Fought to the End. I want to focus on the evacuation of Afghanistan interpreters and their families, Afghanistan workers and their families who had all been part of the operation for two decades, and the inability of the State Department and the Biden administration to provide planning for those families and those people. Why I care about this is it occurs to me we're looking at lessons learned here for the next time the U.S. must evacuate a combat zone or one under attack of an imminent collapse. Your memory, Bill, Dunleavy and Hassan say that the State Department was either in denial or not telling the public everything it knew about the collapsing situation in Kabul, not just the country, but in Kabul. Those last weeks, I'm looking at June, July, and August. Is it accurate to say, as Dunleavy and Hassan say, that the State Department was not working very well with the intelligence on the ground as the Afghanistan forces retreated from the provinces, and that the State Department has another writ than the military? I understand that. State Department maintained that they would keep an embassy in Kabul even after the U.S. withdrawal. Is all that accurate to your memory, Bill?
Good evening, John. Yes. And, you know, first and foremost, if you want to learn lessons of how to conduct an evacuation, Afghanistan is everything what not to do. It was very clear by June that the Afghan government wasn't going to survive. I remember I made a prediction in April just after President Biden announced the withdrawal, and I said the Afghan government would be lucky to make it out by the end of the summer. They were done by August 15th when the Taliban took control. The State Department did not issue its evacuation of U.S. personnel until August 14th. That is one day before the Taliban walked into Kabul, entered the president's compound, and took control of Afghanistan. State Department, U.S. military, everyone was in denial. It should have been clear. On August 6th, the first province, Nimruz, which by all accounts should have been one of the last provinces, but it was really the canary in the coal mine. The tribes there, they're Baluch, they're a very stridently anti-Taliban. They read the writing on the wall and left Afghanistan. They crossed the border into Iran, and everyone should have known the game was up by then. If you didn't figure it out by late June, early July, you should have known on August 6th. The State Department officials were in complete denial that the Taliban would have allowed an embassy, which would have required thousands of American troops as well as troops. Or I'm sorry, the U.S. estimate was 1,000, as well as U.S. presence at the airport. The Taliban were never going to permit that. They wanted U.S. troops out of the country. And yeah, this was an absolute debacle. I don't understand how those of us like Hussein and I, we saw this, the writing on the wall. We understood what was happening, and yet multi-billion-dollar agencies, not just state, the U.S. military was in denial about what was happening. the I think U.S. intelligence understood what was happening, but was pretty silent on this, at least publicly, because of political considerations at the CIA. And the administration was completely out to lunch when it came to Afghanistan. So, yeah, this, none of this is surprising. With Jerry and James, the authors of Kabul, an excellent book, and I highly recommend you all read it. What they describe in their book is merely what we witnessed over the summer of 2021, and they provide excellent detail on the myriad of mistakes made by the Biden administration.
Mr. Ambassador, you're necessarily very well educated in the U.S. State Department, having served as an ambassador to the United States from a critical country in a region in turmoil. Your measure of State Department's reluctance to see what was happening and to prepare for at least a plan B, what happens if everything collapses, is that something you've witnessed before, or is Afghanistan unique in your experience?
Well, we've all witnessed things like that before. I mean, we remember the collapse of Saigon in Vietnam. We saw the evacuation from Somalia. Problem is that the American political system makes it very difficult for professionals to just act in a professional manner. They have to constantly worry about how the political bosses feel about something, and that precludes certain plans being made. The military leaders always want to be able to say America does have the world's largest, strongest, most well-funded military in the world, and yet it has to leave a place. When it leaves a place, then it has to leave in an orderly manner, only to the extent of its own exit. They don't necessarily think about the political dimension. And on the other hand, diplomats, very frankly, are totally dependent on the host country. And if the host country's government is collapsing, their plans are totally contingent upon what the president wants. And in this case, what happened was that two successive presidents, President Trump and President Obama, just wanted to get out of Afghanistan. Well, if they did want to get out of Afghanistan, they should have made a plan. Trump's plan was to send Zalmay Khalilzad to talk to the Taliban, even invite the Taliban to Camp David. You might recall that. That wasn't going to solve anything. The Taliban were never going to keep their word. Similarly, the Biden administration's plan was, we'll just keep on urging the Ghani administration to keep fighting till we have evacuated our people. That is no plan either. Why should somebody keep fighting when they know that you're leaving, and after you leave, they won't be able to fight forever? They won't have the means, won't have the technical support. And so it was political decisions more than the decisions of professionals in the arena.
Bill, I come back to you because the details in the Dunleavy-Hassan book suggest that when the military was finally alerted and sent into sort through the crowds, the battle was largely lost because it was going to be at an airport that was completely available to the Taliban to not only patrol, but to control from the outside. So we're looking at a situation where now, given the details of August of 2021, we needed another way of getting people out, especially because there were thousands of people who were at risk. The book details the fact that though the State Department and the White House, the administration, continued to make statements that were obviously untrue about how the Taliban was treating the people who were trying to leave or the people at the airports. I don't remember that reporting at the time, Bill, but from this book, it's clear that either the State Department didn't know and didn't tell the White House, or they did know and they misled the American people about the beatings, the assaults, the murders, the executions, the torturing going on within sight of the airfield, and with plenty of reports of the back channels trying to get people out. And yet, to my memory, Bill, I don't recall the American people being informed what was going on.
John, if you recall, the U.S. military at the time was calling the Taliban their partner and saying the Taliban was being cooperative in providing security at the airport. And so the administration, and look, what Hussein said is correct. This was a State Department officials, the military, they are at the mercy of the politicians in this regard. And one of the narratives that was put forward was the Taliban are our partners. And you had General McKenzie make this statement. You had other commanders. And so who were the Taliban that we partnered with, put that word in quotes, outside the airport? Security was provided by a group known as Bajri 313. This is a unit, basically Taliban, what they described as one of their special forces unit. It was controlled by Sirajuddin Haqqani, who is obviously a specially designated global terrorist. His the Haqqani network is listed by the U.S. as a foreign terrorist organization, both for their ties to al-Qaeda. These guys knew what suicide bombers look like. These were some of the worst elements of the Taliban when it comes to brutality. They were the most fervent, and we were relying on them to secure the airport, to secure the areas outside of the airport, and treating them like our partners. And therefore, we weren't going to say anything. The administration wasn't going to say anything bad about them. But when you looked at video, even if you saw video during the time, you would see members of Bajri shooting into the crowds, beating people with truncheons and hoses. There was evidence of this, and the administration basically was just telling us everything's fine. Remember, the administration still insists to this day that the evacuation was successful. President Biden has said this, and other officials at the National Security Council, they've maintained that the evacuation was successful and that the Taliban was our partner. They're claiming the Taliban is our partner today in the fight against al-Qaeda, that the Taliban has destroyed al-Qaeda. It's obviously none of it is true, but the administration believes if it says it enough that people will believe it.
I'm speaking with Bill Raggio and Hussein Haqqani. Haqqani, my guides on the situation then, that was when the U.S. occupied and fought the Taliban in Afghanistan and fought the Taliban for 20 years. And the situation now, we're going to turn to the election in Pakistan, because Afghanistan, the failed state of Afghanistan, is exceedingly dependent upon the stability in Pakistan. Is it assured? I'm John Batchelor.